morning. Today's Bible reading comes from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. The words will be on the screen, but feel free to follow along in your own Bibles. Or if you'd like a physical Bible, please raise your hand and the ushers can bring one to you. One day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the word of God.
One, two, one, two, testing, one, two. Good morning, church. Good to see you all. My name is Winston. You can call me Winner if you like. It is a hot and humid day, so I just encourage you, try and stay alert. It's easy. This is the perfect weather, Singaporean weather, to like fall asleep. Let me pray so we can have spiritual alertness. Let's pray. Lord, we commit our time to you now. We pray, God, that your Spirit will stir our hearts, Lord. Help us, Lord, to hear what you want us to hear, Lord, in this short passage. To grasp the significance of it for our lives. Use this time, Lord, not only to teach our minds, but transform our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me ask you something honestly. How's your walk with God? Are you content with your walk with God? Or if you're really honest, does it feel at times a bit shallow? Maybe routine? Maybe a little bit of autopilot? You believe in Jesus, you come to church, you sing songs, you might read your Bible sometimes. You pray sometimes, when it's hard maybe. But deep down, you wish your walk with God was more alive, more meaningful, more real. You want to feel closer to God, to Jesus. You want to have purpose in who you are in Christ. You want to be motivated to actually live out your faith courageously in this world. But life is busy. School, work, money, pressure, distractions, scrolling, stress. And you end up just going through your routine, floating along spiritually. Here's the uncomfortable truth. We all want a better walk with God. We want this better relationship with Jesus. But maybe we don't really want Jesus to be the Lord of our life. We want him to be a savior. Comforter, helper, counselor, advocate, but not the king who rules our life. Not as the one who steers our plans and shapes our priorities and redirects our ambitions. Let me be a little bit vulnerable with you. If any of this resonates with you, like, I'm with you. I feel this struggle too, and I'm a pastor. I want that too. I want that relationship with God too. I want to be more motivated too. I want to live my life for God too in a better way than I often am. It's a constant battle in my life, struggling, wrestling with God and asking Him, help me. But I'm also at the same time wrestling against it. I'm often saying to God, God, like, can we go at my pace, God, instead of your pace? Slow down, God. You know, I've got things that I want to do. And if it's okay, let me decide how uncomfortable I want to be, God. Let me decide whether I should give this up or that up before I go and do what you want. Have you ever had that sort of wrestle with God? I'm often having that. Do you feel what I'm saying? Well, Luke 5, verses 1 to 11 is a story about what happens when someone truly recognizes and sees who Jesus really is. And when that happens, the trajectory of his life changes forever. His purpose changes forever. It's never the same again. So we've been working through the Gospel of Luke, and what Luke wants to do right at the beginning, he's got his friend, he's writing to his friend Theophilus, and his goal is to tell Theophilus what really happened, what Jesus really did, what he taught, so that he can be certain. He wants people, he wants Theophilus to know who Jesus really is, and that is what Luke is for us as well. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? And how does that shape and change your life? So last week in Luke 4, we saw that Jesus overcame temptations from the devil. He taught with authority. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God. So we get massive, massive information about who Jesus is. This person who can heal the sick and drive out demons and teach with incredible authority. People are amazed. But some were confused. Who is this man, Jesus? But what is clear is that Jesus became very famous. Just at the beginning of his ministry, he became very famous. So famous that, you know, we read in Luke 5 that crowds were following him, crowding around him, wanting more, wanting a piece of Jesus. Who are you? We want to see more. We want to hear more. Waiting to see who Jesus really is. And then on this kind of ordinary day, really, for these fishermen, something extraordinary happens. So, sorry about that, if you wanted the QR code for the passage. But it's going to be up on the screen. So, this is what we see. One day as Jesus was standing in the Lake of Gennesaret, good job, Elise, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were fishing who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Now, what I want us to see here in these opening verses is that it's probably a very pretty typical, ordinary day for Simon and his friends, his companions, before they meet Jesus. You know, everyone else knows Jesus. Everyone else is chasing Jesus around, following him. But these guys are just too busy trying to earn a living, doing their job as fishermen, trying to catch some fish to make a living. But what starts out as ordinary becomes extraordinary. And it's at the end of their workday. They've been actually like fishing overnight, we learn. And so they're like, you know, this is the time when the fish are gone anyway. Like, it's no point going on. So they're washing their nets. can't do much more. We've caught nothing. Not going to get any more bites. And so they're finishing up. And all of a sudden, the crowd's coming. Like, who's this crowd? And who are they following? Who's that man? Maybe they know Jesus. Maybe they don't know Jesus at this moment. But they're probably, what on earth is going on here? This big crowd is coming towards the lake. Anyway, the people crowding around him so much that Jesus decides, you know, I need some space, gets into Simon's boat and asks him to row out a bit, and he begins teaching the crowd. Now, we don't know what he's teaching, but we do know that he's proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. We learned that in Luke chapter 4. That's what he was doing. That's what he was preaching, the good news about the kingdom of God. So it's a pretty ordinary day. And all of a sudden, this man of great authority starts teaching about the kingdom of God. And this is where things start to get interesting. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." Now, this is a bit strange because Peter is a professional fisherman. He does this for a living. Jesus is not a fisherman. He's a carpenter growing up and he's a preacher, but what does he know about fishing? This doesn't really make sense. Wrong time, wrong conditions, the fish aren't there anymore. So why put out the nets, you're thinking? But there is something that Simon Peter sees about Jesus. Something maybe in his words, in his authority as he was teaching perhaps. Something in his presence. Maybe it was something greater than what Peter thought. And he saw something and he calls Jesus Master. Like, why would he call him Master? What does that mean? And but he sees enough to go, you know what? Let's give this a go. Why not? Let's see what Jesus can do. I know there ain't going to be no fish, but maybe this Master can do something. So he puts out the nets. So Simon Peter obeys Jesus and he tosses the nets into the water. And this is what we read. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. So if you fish, then you know that there's a time when there's going to be no bites, right? There's no point fishing at a certain point. So this is not an ordinary miracle. It is this overwhelming, excessive abundance that is gone from, you know, zero fish to this excessive abundance. And so much so that we learned that, you know, both boats are so full of fish that they began sinking. That's how big the catch was. From nothing to the biggest catch ever in their lives. The nets are breaking, the boats are sinking. So who is this Jesus? Who is he? Even the fish are like just in obedience, just jumping into the net. Like, what is going on? This is not just a teacher who teaches with authority. He seems to be so much more than that. Imagine going to a dinner party and you meet someone and you have this interesting conversation with them and you think, oh yeah, they're pretty cool. But then you go home and you look them up on Instagram and you discover something amazing, that they're actually a brain surgeon, or they're actually this millionaire entrepreneur, really famous on Instagram. Or this athlete. Like, your view, your respect to this person will rise when you oh wow, I didn't know that. He was so, or she was so humble when I was talking to them. But they're actually this really extraordinary person. Well, that feeling is tiny compared to what Simon felt when he saw the catch. This is something even more amazing than he'd ever imagined. To Simon, Jesus went from master to Lord. He's the Lord of his life, the Lord of creation. Have a look how he responds. That's kind of like how the catch is, except, you know, smaller boat, right? This is how he responds. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." So Simon Peter, his companions, they aren't celebrating at the catch. Simon's not celebrating. Now, why would Peter respond like that? If it was me and I caught that, I'm like, you know, time for a selfie, you know, upload Instagram, hashtag best catch ever, you know, I want the world to know. Like this. But these guys, Simon Peter, is like, this is something real going on here in Jesus. And he falls on his knees and he recognizes something, so much so that he recognizes his own sin. Something about Jesus brings him close to the realization of holiness in who Jesus was. And he recognizes his own sinfulness. And he calls Jesus Lord. He sees Jesus more clearly now. And this is the thing I want us to remember today. When you see Jesus clearly, I said it before, when you see Jesus clearly, a couple of things happen. Firstly, you see yourself more clearly. And secondly, when you see him more clearly and you see yourself more clearly, it should change your life. It should change the whole purpose of your life. Simon doesn't see Jesus and think, oh, you know what? I'm all right. I'm a pretty good person. I'm just trying to do the right thing, catch some fish, make a living, feed my family. I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. No, something extraordinary happened, and he now thinks this Jesus is a holy person, someone of God. He is the Lord, and woe is me, a sinner. I'm not even worthy to be in your presence. Oh, Jesus, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinner. So he sees himself very clearly. And I put it to you that there are some of you in this room who probably don't see yourself very clearly. And the reason actually is not because, you know, you don't examine yourself, but actually the first step is often the biggest step, and that is to see Jesus clearly. When you truly see Jesus clearly, then you will truly see yourself clearly. So let me reflect with you for a moment. Let me get it a little bit personal with you. Are you content with your walk with God, is what I started with? Or does it feel like times are just going through the motions? Are you an autopilot? You want to go deeper? You want to feel more real with God? Well, you got to look to Jesus. Maybe your view of Jesus is too small. Is he your king? Does he rule your life? Does he shape your purpose for what you live for? Your most important priorities in your life? Is it about Jesus? Peter didn't just catch fish for a living, but that day he saw that he has a different purpose. It's to become a fisher of men. He dropped to his knees. He saw Jesus. He surrendered. And in one sense, he recognized that his Lord is Jesus. And Jesus transformed this person. And maybe that's what's going to happen with us. As we recognize Jesus, God's got to deal with the things that we've got to see more clearly within us so that we can truly surrender ourselves and say, yes, I follow you, Jesus, wherever you call me to go, whatever you call me to do, here I am. I surrender all. Here's my sin. Here's my pride. Here are my plans. Here are my ambitions. Here's my control. Here's my comfort. I lay it all before you, God. I surrender it all before you because you are my Lord and you're my Savior, and I give it all to you. Do with my life what you would do, Lord. That's what Simon does. He drops to his knees. He recognizes who Jesus is, and he and his companions, and what do? They drop everything. They drop their jobs. They drop their boats. They drop their nets. And they drop their fish even. Best catch ever, right? They drop it all. And they go, from now on, I follow you, Jesus. You're the Lord of my life. I surrender all. And that's what they do. You know, it's not easy following Jesus. It's costly. It's costly to sacrifice things. It's costly to give up things that you want. To drop things that God wants you to drop. And to leave everything behind that hinders us. Think about it. What is it that hinders you from charging hard after following Jesus? Well, God's saying, drop that now. Are you willing? What is it for you? When we see Jesus truly, then only one thing really matters, and that is that we might know and love Jesus, and that we might long for others to know and love Jesus. That's all that really matters. Everything else is to serve that ultimate purpose. Your job, your career, whatever you're doing, everything else serves that ultimate greater purpose, that you might love and know Jesus and help others to love and know Jesus. So Jesus changes everything, our whole purpose. So what I want us to do now, I think the passage is pretty simple, but it's confronting if we really think about what's going on. And so what I want to do now is take a moment and I want to call us, each of us, to go and truly try and see who Jesus is. And I want to call us to surrender. To surrender everything to Jesus. So if you want, I'm going to guide you through a little bit of reflection. I'm going to ask you some questions to reflect on. You can close your eyes if you want to. If you're going to fall asleep, keep them open. All right? So I'm going to ask you some questions, reflect on them. At the end, I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to pray it as a personal prayer. And if this is what you feel God is calling you to do, then pray it for yourself. It's a prayer of surrender. So let me ask you the first question. Is there anything that you are trying to control in your life? What is it? Name it. Give it to God. Is there anything that you haven't surrendered in your life? Maybe a sin? Maybe a grudge? Maybe there's someone you need to forgive who you haven't for a very long time? Maybe you blame God for something. Maybe you hate not being able to do what you want to do. What is God calling you to surrender? Let's pray. God, show me who you really are. Let me see Jesus clearly. Let me see his might and his power and his holiness and his glory and his authority and his sacrifice on the cross for my sins and his power over death, his resurrection and his kingship and his eternal rule. Lord, help me to see Jesus clearly, Lord, because I'm so distracted at times. I'm so blind at times. I'm so captivated by this world at times. Lord, help me to see Jesus. Lord, you are God, and you are the Savior, and I am a sinner. So, Lord Jesus, I surrender all to you. Take control of my life. Transform me. Help me to live for you and make me a vessel for your glory so that others might come to truly know and love you as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Ben.